Text mainly this morning is drawn from verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul writes, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." The new year is a time for remembering back. It's a time for reflection. It's a time to take stock of what we have encountered in the past 12 months, of what has taken place in our lives and in our community, what has changed. And of course, as we remember back things that have been positive and that have been encouraging, and no doubt there are also things that are negative and have caused somewhat grief or pain or discomfort. But entering into a new year is also a time for looking forward, for planning for the future, for maybe making changes, and usually we plan to make positive changes. Perhaps you have made some so-called New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you have resolved to change in diet, or perhaps you have resolved to get involved in some new exercise regime. I'm told by the statistics, not that statistics are very reliable, but I'm told that 18% of all gym memberships are taken out in the first 2 weeks in January. And by month five, 80% of the people who signed up in January never go through the door of the place. But nice changes and positive changes are sometimes a very good thing. You might make a resolution to not watch as much TV, get involved in a new hobby, perhaps spend less time on the games console or on the tablet or iPad or whatever. Perhaps you have made some resolutions like that, and perhaps, as often is the case, maybe you have lapsed back already and the diet has gone out the window or the exercise regime has taken a bit of a bump down the priority list. But it's not a bad idea to think back, to remember, to review, and then to make plans to improve things in the future. And for us as Christians, as God's people, as God's sheep, the new year is as good as any other time to reflect back and review and make resolutions. That can be a useful spiritual thing. We shouldn't wait until the new year to do that. It should be somewhat of a practice for most of the year. But nevertheless, it's good at this time of the year to do that. I'm not sure what time of the year it was when the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy the words that we read together. I don't know if the new year was a big thing at all back in first century Palestine or first century Roman Empire. I doubt it. But sure enough, Paul writes here in these words, and particularly in verse 6 that we read together there, he writes to Timothy and he advises him and he urges him and he encourages him to remember and to review and to resolve to make changes where he finds them necessary. Paul specifically wants Timothy to remember the gift that God has given to him, and as he remembers it, we assume, wants him to assess the condition of the gift or how he has used the gift that God has given him. And having reviewed it, he wants him to resolve to fan it into flames again, to rekindle it. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to remember God's gifts to us, to review them, and to review how we have used them, and then resolve to rekindle them within us, to make more of them in the year to come. So first of all, as we begin a new year, let's remember God's gifts to us. Paul reminds Timothy, as it were, to fan into flame the gift of God that was given to him by the laying on of hands. Paul, of course, has a specific gift and a specific thing in mind as he writes these words to Timothy. What gift is he thinking of? Well, he's thinking about the gift for ministry. He's thinking about Timothy's ordination, as it were, into the eldership. We've been thinking about eldership over the last number of weeks. And Paul is wanting Timothy to reflect back to that, to remember back to that time. He wants him to remember the gifts that God has given him for ministry, for evangelism. But of course, the vast majority of us are not ordained elders in the church. So I want us to apply this verse a bit more widely than Paul specifically applies it, so that we can all benefit from it. We as people, every single one of us, have received many gifts from God. So the children here, and all of us probably, if we in any way mark the festive season, will have given and received gifts. It's a wonderful thing to receive gifts. And God has given us many, many gifts. He may not have given us specific gifts in graces for full-time ministry, as he gave to Timothy here, and yet we are all called to be servants of Christ, and therefore he has given those of us who are Christ's children gifts in which we are to use to serve him. And now at the beginning of this new year, it's as good as any other time to remember the gifts that God has given us, to reflect back upon them, to remember God's kindness to us, not just in 2018, but throughout our whole lives. What gifts should we be especially thankful for? Well, that would take up far too much time to mention them all, but I want to highlight three categories or three groups of gifts especially that we should remember as we think about the year past and as we go into this new year. And the first is the most important. We should remember the gifts of salvation and having a Savior. That, above everything else, is something that as Christians we should be deeply grateful of and deeply appreciative of, because this is the most fundamental and the most foundational gift of all. By grace you have been saved, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. If you have received gifts for Christmas, I'm sure you were delighted in them. But without belittling those gifts that you have received, every single one of them you probably could have gotten for yourself. You could have made the gift, or you could have bought the gift for yourself. But here's a gift that you can't buy anywhere and that you couldn't get anywhere by your own efforts or in any way at all. It's the gift of God, because only God can give it, the gift of salvation. If you are a Christian, if you have been born again of the Spirit of God, if you have asked God to forgive you for your sins, if you have been brought into the flock of Christ's people, as we were singing about in Psalm 100, you are in possession of the most wonderful gift possible. As we begin this new year, remember that gift. Remember its value. Remember its cost. Consider that of the over 7 billion people who inhabit this world, there are only a very small amount of them that have even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only a very small percentage of that 7 billion people know Christ as Savior and Lord. And if you are a Christian, you're one of them. What a gift to know salvation. Perhaps you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior. Perhaps you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, even though you know and have known since your youth that Christ is the only Savior and that a Savior is necessary. You have known of your need of salvation since you were a child. You have known since childhood of a hell and a heaven. You have known about why Jesus died on the cross, but in truth, you have not taken the warnings of Scripture to heart, and you haven't taken them seriously. You have not heeded the gospel message that there is salvation only through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, today, in this first Sabbath of a new year, is a day when you really need to think about how privileged you are to even know those things. Billions in this world have not and will never find out the things that you know. You need to remember how privileged you are in knowing the gospel, in knowing that there is a way for you to be saved from a lost eternity. And you need to hear those things. And you need to realize that you will be held accountable for those things. So I would urge you, if you have not already done so, to look to Christ as Savior this morning and appreciate the gift that God has given. So we should remember and reflect upon the gifts of salvation. Above everything else, we should appreciate that. We should also remember the gift of this church. The gift of this church and the freedom to come to it. Perhaps you have been noticing in some of the news reports, but certainly on the internet, there have been reports of about a real serious crackdown by the authorities in China upon Christian churches. Many of the pastors and elders have been imprisoned, and the people as well. They have tried to force them into signing documents where they will no longer go to church. We have no such problems here. We have a church which is still free from state control. We have complete freedom of association. No one tried to stop us coming here, and it's unlikely in the near future that anyone will try to stop us coming here. We have a church here where the Bible is openly and clearly and faithfully preached each and every week, a place where we can worship and praise God and fellowship with one another, a place where we have sincere and faithful spiritual leaders who shepherd our souls. There are many millions of Christians around the world who don't have that. Many millions have poor churches where God's word is not honored, where God's word is not faithfully explained and applied to those who listen to it. Many people only have churches where God's word is treated flippantly or carelessly. Or there are many more Christians who don't have freedom to worship or very little freedom to worship. And there are many Christians around the world who have no church at all to go to. Perhaps they have been converted by listening to radio broadcasts. And they don't know another Christian. And they don't know of a church. And perhaps there isn't a church in their nation or within 200 miles of their house. As we begin 2019, we should remember and reflect upon God's gift, this church, and the freedom to come to it. Of course, we should thirdly remember the spiritual gifts that we possess, and that's more closely connected to what Paul is writing to Timothy about. It's not too long since we were thinking about the spiritual gifts as Philip preached through 1 Corinthians, and we read together there in 1 Peter chapter 4 about how God has given all his people gifts and that we are to use them. Each one of us who are believing Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are in possession of at least one gift, and we're called to use them. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we have a call to remember our gifts, to reflect upon how truly blessed we have been. We are among the most privileged Christians on the face of the earth. We are among the most privileged generation of Christians that has ever lived. We have more freedom and ease and comfort and privileges probably than any other generation of Christians. And certainly more than many who are alive, even in our own generation. We are a truly blessed people. So as we begin this new year, we do well to remember the gifts that God has given us. But secondly, as we begin a new year, let's review the state or the condition of the gifts within us. As we begin a new year, let's review the state or the condition of our gifts. But in reality, what we're really examining ourselves is, what's our relationship to the gifts that God has given us? How do we think about them? How do we appreciate them? How have we used them? Paul's instruction here to Timothy is, fan into flame the gift of God. And that exhortation, that encouragement is built upon an assumption. And the assumption that Paul is working under is this, that Timothy might just have allowed his zeal and his enthusiasm for God's gift to die down a bit. That's the possibility that lies behind this instruction. He pictures a fire, an open fire. And you know that a fire left to itself will go out, whether it's a bonfire of sticks out in a field, or whether it's your open fire or your wood-burning stove. If you set it and you light it for a while, the flames shoot up and it roars and all the rest of it and gives out great heat. But if you don't do anything more to it, it will go out, won't it? It might go out quite gradually. First of all, the flames will die down. Then the heat coming out of the fireplace will diminish quite a bit. And eventually you'll just be left with orange light coming out of the fire. And eventually, if you don't do anything to it, that orange light will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And the grey and the blackness of the ashes and the coal will take over. And eventually it will go out. That's the picture that Paul is using here in connection with Timothy's gifts and in connection with our gifts. He sees the possibility that Timothy might have allowed his zeal, his enthusiasm, his use of God's gifts to him to die down. And so Paul suggests to Timothy that he should check that hasn't happened. And to the extent that it has happened, he's to fan up the flames again, get the life going again. We'll look at that in a moment or two. He is urging him to check his relationship to his gifts. Are you using your gifts? Are you still a flaming, energetic, zealous, enthusiastic user of God's gifts? Paul's been very realistic here. I think he knows that we all are a bit like Timothy, that we all might at times need to do a bit of work. At the very least, we need to check up on how we are utilizing God's gifts to us. How might it be that Timothy's zeal and enthusiasm in the use of his gifts could have died down? What sort of things need to happen, or what things haven't happened, that allow our gifts, like Timothy's gifts, perhaps, to die down? Well, the gifts of God can die down in us, first of all, by us neglecting them. It's interesting, in Paul's first letter to Timothy, he writes of that very thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he writes, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy." It's very similar to what he writes here. Fan the flames of the gift that you were given by the laying on of hands. And here in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, don't neglect. It's like a fire again. If you just light a fire in the living room and then go and spend the whole day in the kitchen or in the garage or the garden or wherever and don't do anything to the fire, when you come back in, it'll be out. If you neglect the fire, it goes out. Well, this text causes us to consider, have we neglected God's gifts to us? Have you and I been neglectful towards the good things that God has given to us? This can happen when we allow other things in life to squeeze aside the things that are really most important. When we allow our jobs or our hobbies or our leisure time or our education or just our ease to displace Christ and the church and our spiritual life as being the most important things, that's neglect. We can be a bit like children and their presents at Christmas. I haven't personally seen this myself, but it's a kind of a cliche that the children open the big box and they set aside the toy and then they play with the cardboard box. We can be like that about spiritual things. We can be like that about Christ and salvation in the church. We'd rather have the box of our leisure activities. We can fall into the trap of allowing our own ease, our own comfort, our own tiredness and things like that to be the things that we give most attention to rather than the core gifts that God has given us. Perhaps you have been a bit neglectful and unappreciative of your gospel privileges, of Christ and of salvation. Perhaps you have been a bit neglectful and unappreciative of the church and the means of grace that God gives us in the church. Have you been neglectful in taking up that gift of the freedom to come here? Has your attendance become less frequent over the last year or last number of years? Have you been neglectful of your spiritual gifts? Have you identified your gifts but haven't really taken the time to use them or to investigate ways in which you can use them? Neglect can allow the fire of our fervency and zeal and enthusiasm for God and the church and our gifts to die down. But the gifts of God can also die down by us quenching them, or by us resisting the Holy Spirit who energizes them. A fire will die down if you neglect it, but it will definitely die down if you throw a bucket of water over it. We can quench our spiritual gifts. We can quench our usefulness in Christ's kingdom by falling into patterns of sin. When we allow pride to pollute our service, that's when we are quenching our spiritual gifts as well. The gifts of God can die down in us through fear and hesitancy in their use. And I think this is one of the things that Paul is particularly addressing in Timothy's case. I suspect Timothy was a naturally timid personality. Thus, Paul here urges him to fan into flame his gifts, and he does so in the context where he also urges him not to be afraid, not to be fearful, not to be ashamed, but to be being willing to share in suffering for the gospel. That's the full message of verses 6 to 8. For this reason, he says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. I wonder if this is something that is becoming more of an issue for us, or that will become more of an issue for us. Our community, as with the rest of the Western world, is becoming less content with Christianity, less happy to tolerate Christian morals and ethics. Our beliefs and our values are becoming more despised by the weak. And as a result, our zeal and our enthusiasm to spread the message of the gospel might start to die down. Our zeal and our enthusiasm to spread the message of the gospel, to invite people to church, to serve people in the name of Christ, might diminish and grow down to be like just barely glowing embers. We can become fearful of ridicule, of persecution, of paying the price to be clearly and consistently Christian. The gifts of God can die down in us through sheer weariness and discouragement. How Satan loves to discourage us as we serve Christ. Where are the results for all your labor? Where's the fruit of all your work? You invest all this time and energy and you go to church and what? You still have troubles and you still have trials and nobody's coming and when you give out invitations and so forth and so on. You're just wasting your time, he says. Just stay at home tonight. Don't bother praying with the church. It doesn't make any difference anyway. The gifts of God can die down in us. Our attitude towards them, our zeal, our enthusiasm can wane. And so just as Paul urges Timothy to do, we should review. We should assess ourselves. We should examine our attitude to our gifts. Have you and I neglected them somewhat? Have you and I quenched them somewhat? Have we become fearful or weary or discouraged in the use of what God has so generously given us? If we bought gifts for our children and the children opened them and set them aside, never looked at them again, we'd be sorry about that. It'd be disappointing. God has given us so many gifts. What is our attitude to them? Have we used them? Have we invested with them? Have we a zeal for them? Timothy calls us to remember our gifts. He calls us to review the state or condition of our gifts. But then finally, and very clearly from the text, we see that at the beginning of a new year, we should rekindle our gifts. We should rekindle our gifts. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul urges us that if we do find ourselves falling short, if we do find ourselves lacking zeal or interest or enthusiasm, we should rekindle ourselves. We should fan the glowing embers into roaring flames again. Some translations say stir up. The idea is you get the poker out and you give it a real good poke in through the embers and it gets the oxygen moving through the coals again, and before you know it, if there's enough fuel still left there, it's up flaming again. Some translations have rekindle. I think that's my favorite way of translating it. Ours has fan the flame, fan into flame. It's like the bellows in the blacksmith, or getting the newspaper and giving it a bit of a waft, or in our house we put the newspaper across the mouth of the fire and just leave a little gap at the top and it draws the oxygen in through again and lights it all up. Whatever the method is, what you're doing is rekindling, and that's why I like that particular translation. One thing's sure, Paul doesn't want Timothy to be a glowing ember. God doesn't want Timothy to be a glowing ember. He wants him to be a raging fire of enthusiasm and zeal. And so it is with us. He doesn't want us just to glow through life. He wants us to be flaming fires of service to Christ. He wants us to invest time and energy. He wants each one of us to be committed. He wants us to assess the condition of our gifts, but he wants us to improve where necessary, to recover what has been somewhat lost. That's what we saw in Psalm 119, part 5. The psalmist wanted to be wholehearted. He wanted to be devoted. And God wants you and me to be the same. Look at verse 7 and 8 for some of the answers as to how we fan the flame, how we rekindle our zeal and our enthusiasm, how we get our joy and delight in the Lord. We see it mentioned twice. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power. And in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. There's the first application. There's the first way we go about re-energizing our flames, how we go about rekindling our zeal. We must come to God, for it's him who gives the power to do it. The gifts come from power and from God in the first place. And as he is the giver of the gifts, so he is the one who gives the ability to use them properly and appropriately. He is the one who gives us the zeal to respond to what he has given to us. Are the embers of your enthusiasm and zeal for the gospel and for the church and for your spiritual gifts, are they burning low? Look to God. He gives the gifts. He gives the spirit. He gives the mindset. He gives the enthusiasm. He gives the zeal. If you have become apathetic or careless or neglectful, prayer is the first step. If you have become afraid or fearful or hesitant, very aware of the consequences and cost of faithfulness, perhaps if you have become ashamed, pray that God would take those things away. Pray that he would renew zeal in you, a consciousness of the dependence upon his power and his strength. Pray that he would give you the power to overcome selfishness and self-interest, so that you would see what's really important. So if you would rekindle the flames of your life in service to Christ, pray. Look to the giver of the gifts. But secondly, while it's right that we should pray for more grace, and while it's right that we should appreciate his gifts and realize that he has given them for us to use, there is, of course, a duty laid before us in this text. The power comes from God. The gift comes from God. But we have a task here. We have a responsibility. We have an accountability here. So had Timothy. Timothy had to fan the flames. He had to rekindle if rekindling was necessary. He had to agitate himself and poke himself to get into flaming action again. How can we fan the flames? Well, some more re-words. Reorganize. If you would use the gifts that God has given you, if you would show appreciation for the gifts that God has given you, whether it be your salvation, your Savior, your church, your graces, your gifts, it may be that you need to reorganize your priorities. You may need to reorganize your life. You may need to reorganize your time. You may need to reorganize your mindset. The dangers of neglect and carelessness are real. And in our modern busy world, it's so easy to neglect those things. But if we are to rekindle in accordance with God's instructions, we need to allow time for fellowship. We need to make time for fellowship, for worship, for prayer, for church, for serving. Reorganize to rekindle. Recommit to rekindle. Realize the charge of 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're a Christian, you have been given a gift to use. He hasn't given us a Savior whom he doesn't want us to share. He's given us a Savior to share. He's given us a salvation to tell other people about. He hasn't given us a church so that we can stay at home. He's given us a church so that we can go there and learn and grow and serve with one another. He hasn't given us spiritual gifts. So like the man in the parable, we can bury them in the ground and hope for the best. No, he has given us the gifts and the talents that he has given us for us to invest in them and use and improve. So recommit to use what the Lord has given you. Reorganize to rekindle. Recommit to rekindle. Renew to rekindle. Renew your faithfulness to God. Put aside any pattern of sin that has hindered. Renew your submission to the Lord. Paul urges Timothy to be prepared to control his life to ensure that he can exercise his gifts, even if it does cost. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Our gifts aren't for our own benefit, they are for the benefit of our brothers and sisters. God has given us a spirit of love. He has given these gifts for us to use, but sometimes we need to control ourselves and control our lives rather than letting our lives control us. Renew your sense of submission to the Lord. Renew your sense of duty to Christ and his people. Christ has so loved us. He's been so generous to us. Ought we not to take the gifts that he has given us and love them and appreciate them and use them and invest in them and organize ourselves so that we can always be enthusiastic and zealous, even that by his grace we can overcome weariness and fear and distraction. It's a new year. It's a time for remembering, time for reflecting on the past. But as David read at the beginning, sometimes we have to leave those things behind and look to the future. And so it's a time for rekindling and reorganizing and recommitting and renewing and being refreshed. Here's a new resolution well worth keeping. And keep on keeping it, preserving it, and by God's help, each one of us can rekindle the enthusiasm and the joy we ought to have for the good, generous gifts that God has given us. May God help us to be his faithful sheep in 2019. Amen.